here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you have brought us here to this passage tonight for a reason. And I don't even know what that reason is, except that you know our need. We don't. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to what you want us to see in your word tonight. Speak to us.
Yes.
Speak through me.
Yes.
And Lord, help me to relay your message accurately. And I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, I want to point out that you can worship God for the wrong reason.
Amen.
She did.
That's right.
I don't know exactly how she worshiped Jesus. I picture her going up to him and kneeling, maybe even bowing. I don't know. I doubt she went up to him and started throwing her hands in the air and dancing. But it's clear that she was worshiping
Amen.
Jesus. That's what the Bible says. It's also clear that she had ill motive. Worship is anything that you or I do that acknowledges God for who He is. The most pure forms of worship is done in private, not in public. Because when we're in public, we are tempted to show, to do it for show. Remember what Jesus told the Samaritan woman about worship in John chapter 4?
Yeah.
He said, True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
That's how we worship. Genuine worship magnifies God. Not us. But back to this story. I want you to look back before where we started reading in verse 20. Look in verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Jesus just told them what was going to happen in just a few days about him being crucified. It just left his mouth.
Yes.
when she came up to him and wanted something. That seems to me super selfish. He just got through saying, I'm going to get arrested. They're going to beat me. Then they're going to kill me. Just wanted to let y'all know this. Oh, Jesus, do you mind if my two boys sit on your right hand and on your left? I think they didn't really understand what he was saying. I don't think the disciples did either. Which is why they reacted like they did when it began happening. That's why Peter cut off the ear of Malchus. He thought he was supposed to fight for Jesus. He thought, they thought, that Jesus was getting ready to set up his kingdom and he was going to be the new king of the Jews. Verse 24, the Bible says, and when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. I think that it's because they beat them to the draw.
Yeah, probably so.
They were all hoping that they were going to get this some high position in Jesus' kingdom.
That's right.
Again, proving their self-centered mentality. The truth is, Jesus starts in verse 25 addressing this issue. He says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. The people that you and I perceive as great people or successful people are those that have acquired lots of money or else prominence or both. We do. We may not want to admit that, but the truth is, if you or I had opportunity to shake the hand of Donald Trump, we would want a picture. We would send it to everybody we know. We would mount that picture in our house as though we're extremely proud of the fact that he took time to shake my hand. Such a great man. But Jesus said, I want you to take a closer look at those people. How they treat those under them. He says they exercise lordship. The truth is, those people boss around those who are under them rudely, many times, loudly, and without courtesy. Right?
Yeah.
Jesus said that these people aren't great. Let me show you who is great. Then he goes on in verse 26 and he says, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now, minister means servant. When you hear the word minister today, you automatically think of a man standing in front of the pulpit, leading the church. Okay. That's really not what Jesus was describing here. In fact, he gave us a pretty clear description himself. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But then in verse 27, Jesus describes this great person. Let's read it. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now this word servant, if you look it up real closely, doesn't really mean servant. It means slave.
Yeah.
Jesus modeled for them what this was all about. When he took the bowl of water and the towel and he washed their feet.
Right.
He was showing them how to serve others. A servant is a person who does menial tasks for another voluntarily and for pay. A slave does the same without pay or choice. You know whether or not you're a servant by how you react when you're treated like one.
That's good.
Verse 27, Jesus uses the word chief. This word chief means first. I want to be first. That's what he was addressing, because not only his disciples, but two of them's mother was encaptured by this mentality of wanting to be first.
Yeah.
So he uses the word chief to really drive home his point. So you want to be chief? You want to be first? You're going to need to be a slave. And he wasn't talking about a slave to Jesus. He was talking about to other people. Jesus made it very clear who was great in God's eyes. And it's those who have crucified their fleshly desire to be first. And humbled themselves to serve others day in and day out. They put others first, even while driving. They put others first in the home. They put others first at the store. They put others first at mealtime. That's easier to do when we're here at the church. I notice a lot of times that when we have a meal, everybody is fighting the desire. They're standing there quietly, acting like they're patient. Just hoping that somebody would just break the ice and run up there and start getting their food so they could go in there and get theirs. And I know that because I feel the same thing. Sometimes I'll just go ahead and break the ice. But a true servant puts others first. Not because they don't feel worthy, but because they know that walking in the Spirit isn't possible without dying to the flesh.
That's so true.
Our flesh wants to be first. The Spirit says, go last. Our flesh wants recognition. The Spirit says, be quiet and unseen. Our flesh wants to win. And the Spirit says, let them win.
Yeah.
Our flesh wants to stand up for our rights, but the Spirit says, you don't want what you deserve. Our flesh wants to retaliate, and the Spirit says, respond in love. Our flesh wants to be served. The Spirit says, serve them.
Amen.
You want to be great in God's eyes? Be a servant. Put others first. Always. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was the perfect model,
yes,
of a servant. He was homeless. Every time it come time to do something for other people, when people had needs, he stopped dead in his tracks and helped them, healed them. Everything he did at the command of the Spirit. And everything that the Spirit told him to do involved serving others. Why would he have any other plan for us? Are we any better than him?
Yes.
Sometimes, far too often, we think we are. We think we deserve this or that. We sure do want it. We want to be first. We want to be chief. We want to win. But that's our flesh. And we have to crucify the flesh.
Yes.
Not just daily, but many times throughout the day.
That's right.
Our flesh wants something now. Our spirit says wait for a future benefit. Does your flesh want these things? Y'all fight this?
Yes. Yes.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for showing us tonight the need to be a servant. Lord, I pray that you would help me to humble myself and to be a servant all the time and everywhere for your honor and glory. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Turn to 565. 565.